Now, last Saturday, I was letting you hear some discussion about financial habits from one of the summits held by Black Enterprise, and I promise you that I would return to that this week. So, in keeping with my promise, I'm going to let you hear just a few minutes of the latter part of last week's discussion, and we're going to move on to the new ground. Again, this has to do with financial habits, and you may want to be really focusing on this for your personal matters, but it also has to do specifically with for the people who are entrepreneurs. And just as a reminder, one of the guests is a lady who was the founder of Carol's Daughter, an outstanding, Carol's Daughter, and it's about beauty for Black women with a special focus on hair. And so, again, they are discussing financial habits, and they're really giving us some great info. So let's return to that discussion now.
You as an entrepreneur.
Recognizing that money is an energy, that it has to flow. It comes in and it goes out, and it comes in and it goes out.
And at this point, Alfred Edmonds Jr. was asking the three panelists to give just some succinct words of wisdom regarding financial habits. And this is what she was saying, to realize that money comes and goes. It flows. And we need to be able to manage it.
And you can't hoard it. So you can't hold on to it and expect it to flow. And you can't throw it away and expect it to come back. So you always have to have that yin and yang with it. For me personally, there's a certain comfort level that I have, and you know, maybe this is because I'm older or things that I learned from my mom. My mom always had that purse or that pouch that she would say is in the drawer, in the box, behind the thing, and you'll find the, you know, and there was like a stash. You know, I always need to have my stash in my house. And that's something that I haven't let go of. I'm not saying that you should have large amounts of stash in your home because your money in your home is not making you any money. Mm-hmm. But if you need that just to have peace of mind, that little something that if you have to get up and run in the middle of the night, not that any of us will ever have to do that, but you know, this is my thing. This is my thing. I have to
it
have.
It feels like Brooklyn. I'm just saying. You know. It feels like Brooklyn to me. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
But that gives me comfort. And I remembered listening to someone talk about money once many years ago. And they said that you should always know where it is, what you have, and organize it. And this person would sit down with their wallet at the end of the day and organize the bills in their wallet and put them in denominational order and count them to know what was there. And it was part of respecting the energy of the money, knowing what was there, what you put out that day, what you started the day off with, what you ended up with, gee, what did I spend it on? And in the early days of my business, every single day, I wrote on my Excel spreadsheet what I spent money on. $15 for, you know, sea salt, $12 for Castile soap, $40 for shea butter. Of course, it was needed by the accountant as well, but it was this structure for me that helped keep me comfortable because I had to spend so much. I had never done that before because when you become an entrepreneur, you all of a sudden have a lot of money, but you don't get to keep it. So you have to be very comfortable writing checks for $2,000 and $5,000 and $700 and $14,000. And you look at a bank balance that was $175,000 one day and then it was $37. And you have to be okay with that. So I had to write it down to know where it was going to say, okay, I spent it on what I was supposed to spend it on. And those are very rudimentary things, and I don't have to do that today, obviously, but it's how I got to function, because I might have not made it if I couldn't understand that. And then you don't get excited about money, because you understand how much it really is. $175,000 is not so exciting when you understand that you could spend it in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mike, before you weigh in as well on that question, I want to let you know we're going to have this podium moved out so that for Q&A, have your questions ready. You can come to the podium and be in line to ask your question. I've told somebody to move the podium out, but we'll work that out. The other thing I want to say, to your point, Lisa, about really keeping track, both for your comfort level and, to your point, just from a structure level, you can't be vague about these numbers. And I always tell people, my driving passion in this space as a business editor, as a financial educator, is that we have to raise up generations of people coming behind us that can say millions and billions without stuttering. Mm-hmm. That they're not emotional about it. Mm-hmm. It's just the way we measure what we do and the scale of impact that we have. And you can't manage billions if you can't manage the pennies. Mm-hmm. Or worse, you're intimidated by the management of pennies. So that both what Hugo said about structure, in addition to being flexible and not being overly emotionally invested, but also still being keenly aware of what you're doing without being intimidated, is very, very important.
I agree with all things said. I try to answer why. Why? It's no different than why do you have to pay your rent? Why do you have to pay your mortgage? Why do I have to save? You can answer that question. Why do I need a plan? Just think about, someone can move you through this, but if you can answer why do I have to write that check? Why do I need another employee? Why? That takes all of the noise out of it. From at least my experience has been, it's taken the noise out of every investment I've ever made, every plan that I put in place and have stuck to, is I could always answer why I had it. I'll give you one other a powerful product that you need to be thinking about. It's insurance. Not car insurance, not homeowners insurance. Life insurance. It's a product that it brings certainty at uncertain times. And it can not only do it in your personal life, but it can do it in your business life. Just like you can insure a car, an apartment, or a house, you can insure key employees, you can insure retirement futures, you can insure lives.
I want to sit on that because one of my relatives, I won't talk too much out of his business out in the street, he's not here, but he's a business owner.
Yeah.
And he's at an age now where, while he's not trying to get out of his business yet, he's at that age where he's got to start thinking about it. And his wife told him literally last week, because then he reached out to me and to ask some questions, she said, if something happened to you tomorrow, all this goes away, and I wouldn't have any place to live.
Get on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. This is, So I said, my question, and he hasn't responded yet, do you have T-Man life insurance? Because for many of us, especially in the early to mid stages of our business, you are it.
You're the key. That's right.
For a long time, Lisa, before you got this, you were it. If something happened to Lisa Price, Carol's daughter goes away.
Right.
And I don't know if you had T-Man or if you got T-Man or any type of insurance along the way, but talk about what that really means at the early stages. Because unfortunately, too many of us think the time to get a financial advisor, the time to start looking at your product is after I make, after I get rich, then I'm going to get me a tax advisor, a financial advisor. And you're not protecting this investment of not just money, in your case, your literal life. Uh-huh. Maybe you mortgaged your home. Maybe you decided to wait to get married. Maybe you decided to not put your kids in the school. You might have put, these are real life investments you're making, but you're not protecting that investment. I mean, I'm talking about specifically not just with insurance as a particular product,
right,
but with the financial expertise that you need to have.
You have to have a financial advisor even in the beginning phases.
Absolutely.
They're going to help you, even the accountant is going to help you put together in your business plan your financials. I mean, you've got to, some people will do it pro bono, some will charge you a little bit, but you've got to get that. And then you've got to also, as Mike was saying, you got to get the proper insurances for this, because there's a living benefit to life insurance. And many people, they don't talk to us about it, you know, in our communities, but it's there. And the thing is that you have to put these things in place early, because you're young and you're healthy. Yes. And you don't have the trifecta that my group calls it, you know, the diabetes and the arthritis and the cholesterol and the hypertension, so you can't get it, you know. So just like he's preparing, your relative is preparing, it's like, okay, it's sort of kind of late. You know, well, that, when you think about it, you know, it's like
the options become way fewer.
You know,
and more expensive.
More expensive.
Wow, what do you think about that, everyone? Key Man Life Insurance. You're insuring lives, you're insuring the current investment, you're insuring for the future. How many of you entrepreneurs have done that? How many of you are motivated to start working on that? How about at the very beginning of the startup of the business, having financial advisors on board to advise you from the very beginning? Back in just a few.